there. They did a show. It was a retro pack. And it was about... That's what I said. You always contradict me. I was right. I knew what I... It was about the history of Astoria. And these are the rejects. Kind of like us, Mike. The Goonies.
Yeah, I'm not a reject.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the film calendar.
The movie calendar.
That's what I said, the movie calendar. My name is Lee.
I'm Terrence.
This week we're going to be talking about The Goonies. Oh my goodness, that was so smooth. You wouldn't have thought it was our second take.
We didn't rehearse that at all.
No, not at all.
And then I forgot that what we have to go into intros after. Yes,
go into the show afterwards. Did you want to do it again?
I'm Terrence.
No, nah. He's Terrence. I'm Lee. We're going to talk about Richard Donner's The Goonies very, very soon. Really excited to talk about this one. I mentioned in a previous episode that it was one of my absolute favorite childhood movies. I'm going to get into all of that, as well as talking about the characters, the writing, the adventure, the villains, as well as One-Eyed Willy. And yeah, just the whole thing. I love this film.
Superman shirt.
Yes, Terrence is not in his traditional black shirt.
To represent Sloth out there and all those that are feeling ostracized.
Terrence is here to save you.
I'm here to save you, you guys.
I thought it was in a reference to Richard Donner.
Is he Superman?
No. Richard.
How is that funny?
We've spoken about this before. How do you not remember? In the episode 10, the Iron Man episode, put your finger up for the card. There it is, ding, for those watching on YouTube. He directed Superman in the 70s, one of the first superhero films.
Oh my God, okay.
Yeah, had a huge influence on Kevin Feige.
I remember that conversation.
Doesn't matter. He worked for him, doesn't matter. It's a whole thing. Go and watch the Iron Man episode, it's really good.
I was totally joking when I said, is he Superman? I remember we were talking about it. Sorry. Maybe we should do this again. Nope, too late.
We're fine. We're going to keep on trucking.
I'm sweating. It is hot. Okay, cool.
It is very warm tonight. We'll be able to watch the glistening foreheads get even more glistenous as the episode goes on.
I was going to use the word glistening. You can't steal my head words. Far out.
Putting words in your mouth.
What is going on?
I know. We're very excited to talk about this one. We're going to get into our regular scheduled programming of our hashtag What About When, as well as adding the film to the movie calendar. And for those who have been playing along for the last 4 weeks and are eagerly awaiting the announcement of what we're going to be doing in December, that is coming as well. Time codes are all in the description below, as well as links to all of the socials like Twitter, Instagram, our email is there, as well as the website.
Which are themoviecal@gmail.com and themoviecalendar.com.
Nice, perfect. Oh yeah, because people don't always watch on YouTube, they often listen to the podcast.
And even when they watch on YouTube, they don't always hit the thing that lets the description show.
Yeah, but it flashed on the screen if they're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, but let's keep moving.
All right. Where would you like to start? Should we do a plot summary?
A
spoiler warning?
Do your quick little plot summary and spoiler warning so they know that there are spoilers coming.
So this movie is about a ragtag group of friends, young kids who grew up in a town called Astoria. They're known as the Goonies because they hang around the Goondocks. It's probably a derogatory term, I'd imagine.
Goondocks? Isn't it the Boondocks?
They're called the Goondocks.
Yeah, but the place is the Boondocks.
They call it the Goondocks in Astoria.
Oh.
Yeah. Terrence has seen the film.
Yeah, I thought it... Okay. Wow, okay.
Yeah, in Astoria they call them the Goondocks, or at least that's what they're called in this film.
Oh. I thought I made some sort of connection with Goondocks. I thought that was like a derogatory term for what that area used to be, and I don't know what the area used to be. It was just one of those isms where I was like, it's an American thing. I don't know. I'll just go with the flow.
Yeah.
I'd say that
it would have been a derogatory term that probably the bullies would have called these kids, like, oh, you're the Goonies, and they just adopted it and took the name back. Which I love that.
It's a little club.
And all of their family's homes are about to get taken away and torn down and turned into a golf club unless they can find a way to raise the money to save their family's homes. And one of them finds a treasure map that may lead to riches beyond their wildest imaginations. It's fun, it's adventure, it's excitement. This film is like Indiana Jones light for children. I love it.
Yeah, lots of rich stuff.
Rich stuff. They find rich stuff.
Rich stuff. There could
spoilers.
Be rich stuff there. Some weird innuendo with the name of the pirate. What is going on there?
I honestly never, ever in my life I've thought about that as an innuendo. Ever. Probably because the association I always had with it was when I was like a proper child.
Before so that just kind
never,
of
yeah, innuendo before those was things a thing. Sort of happened in my mind. Thank you for that.
Spoiler alert.
You've
sorry,
ruined
Lee.
It for me. Oh, it's just so funny. That hurts,
every
Terrence.
Time these kids say it with such conviction of, oh, and the treasure from One-Eyed Willy. I was always...
You're a child.
It's made for a child. Yeah. For child's children.
I love it. There's a lot of adult humor in here, which is quite nice. I really enjoyed rewatching this film this week. I don't know what episode it was I said that I think this film might be the live action film that I have seen the most in my life because of, wow. we had the VHS of this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was every week at my grandmother's house. I would go and watch it. Oh, and the VHS wasn't like a proper VHS. It was one of the ones that was recorded from the television. And when I rewatched it back the other day, I had a friend of mine who was their first time watching it. And I'm normally not this person, but anytime a moment would happen, I would go, ad break. Ad break. Whenever an ad would come in during the VHS tape, I still remember the ads, just the association of like what scene was happening. I knew what ad was going to come next, which is just, that's how much I've seen this film. Also, my VHS story, just while we're here, I may as well continue. I didn't have like the first 10 minutes of the film on the VHS. Like they just mustn't have recorded. And so I did not see the breakout of prison or the introduction to all the characters individually. Like my VHS tape started when Chunk knocks over the statue and the statue of David's like breaks apart. That's where I'm introduced into the film.
Where David's one eye Willy falls off.
Good, excellent foreshadowing.
Nice. Do the drum sound.
No, don't do that.
Ba-dum. No, we don't do that here.
No. So yeah, that was my experience with it. And I watched this film. I don't know whether it was 100 or over, but it would have been up there. I watched it a lot.
Wow. This, you know, you're saying the association with the ads and how you even knew the ads that were coming. There's a lot of noise going on right now. There's an aeroplane. There's a whole heap of cars. So if you can hear that, apologies. But hey, we know too. What can we do? Hey, all right. So my association with this film is Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
It's just whenever I hear the Goonies, and it's such a nice nostalgic comfort when I hear that track. And the weirdest thing about it is whenever I think of the Goonies, Girls Just Want to Have Fun comes in my head. It's not even the song.
The wrong song.
And then when I hear, like when I rewatched and I saw it, and there was even a little discussion in my household of, it's not Girls Just Want to Have Fun, it's another. And we couldn't pick it until we actually saw it. And we're like, oh, good enough. Yes. There it is. There's that feeling.
Was that song written for the Goonies?
I don't know. I haven't delved into her discography, but I know it's called The Goonies Are Good Enough. There is a YouTube clip on it, which is like a 7-minute video where the Goonies appear for about a total of 4.5 seconds right towards the end, and they yell Goonies. And I don't know.
I was trying to lob you up an easy knock out of the park for that one. Yes, the song was written for the Goonies.
Yes.
There it is.
Of course it was.
Let's cut that middle bit out. Yeah, of course it was written for the Goonies.
The Goonies are good enough for me. With all the pro wrestlers in it.
Yes. I haven't seen it.
Well, they have all the pro wrestlers in it from the 80s, the big time wrestlers like Rowdy Roddy Piper, and that's the only one I know, but there are other ones like
Hulk Hogan?
Too. I don't know if he was in it.
Okay.
Apparently...
he would have cost too much money.
Apparently, Andre the Giant was in it. Good time to reference the Princess Bride.
Card. Ding. Upper hand. There you go.
They were pointing to the same spot.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe I have to just...
Continuity. I'm all about continuity.
Okay, so a lot of nostalgia for me with this one. It was a brilliant watch. It's just a nice, easy, calm watch. Let's get into
straight in. So yeah, directed by Richard Donner, as we mentioned before, who as Terrence has just remembered,
created
the first proper superhero film with Superman with Christopher Reeve. Starring Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Corey Feldman, as well as a whole host of other amazing actors.
Jeff Cohen as Chunk, Cherry Green as Andy, Martha Plimpton as Steph. How do I pronounce? Kei Hui Kwan as Data. John Matuszak Sloth, who has passed away many years ago now.
Yeah, it was very much close to after this film's release.
And then we got the villains. Robert Darby, opera singer. Joe Pantoliano,
who from the Matrix.
Is in the Matrix.
Cypher.
He gets convinced to...
Spoilers for the Matrix!
Does he take the pills? I don't know. He's happy to leave.
He's not going to say it. Yeah, everyone's seen The Matrix. It was the biggest film in the world for years.
Yeah, and Ramsey as well. So those three are the villains.
Yeah.
Incredible
villains. Cannot wait to talk about those.
Cool.
The perfect amount of ham.
Comedic trio. It was really good.
Yeah.
I was so impressed with them.
Because I remembered as a kid is that they were terrifying.
Yeah.
They scared the absolute bejesus out of me when I was a child, because it's like the blender scene and...
pretty full on.
Like,
hey,
they're literally torching their brother Sloth, and so like that. It was all very darkly lit, but now like watching it this week, it's pure comedy. But they are just hilarious,
full murderous. Like, there are two shootings while the film is playing out. Like, they kill two people.
Yeah,
and children see actual dead bodies, which I actually forgot about. And oh, what a traumatic experience for poor Chunk.
Yeah, he seemed to be okay. When he was in the freezer, it's like the first time he sees the body and just like freaks out. Then like he's trapped in there with him and he's just like trying to hold him up against the wall and just going, like, no, stay. Hey, you guys, I'm still in here. Oh, shh. I'm not going to swear.
Oh, man. Hey, you guys. Come over here. That's it. You know, okay. So I'm going to mention it now. The unbelievable amount of "hey you guys" and "you guys" and the, "guys,"
the dialogue.
I have no idea why or what was going on, but I think every time Data said something, it finished with "you guys." Hey, that's not right, you guys. Or hey, look over here, you guys. Hey, they're coming, you guys. Everything, but all of them. There is a cut. There are many cuts online about every time they say "you guys," and I did think to myself about partway through. I thought, I should go back and watch it and just tally. Are you guys? Now we have YouTube.
I'm sure
now.
It's already been done.
We have YouTube now, but I couldn't really find how many, so I counted in one of the clips. And guess how many I counted? And this includes "you guys," "guys," and "hey guys."
46.
So all three of those were counted through the entire movie, Lee, not just the first scene that you didn't see.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
107.
Oh my goodness.
Which includes Sloth's entrance at the end. But straight after that, there's another. Hey, you guys. You guys. Everything, it's just like once you hear it, you can't unhear it. Sorry if anyone's watching it after we do this.
They weren't big on pronouns in the 80s. So yeah, they weren't.
And that meant something different back then anyway, you know, in terms of what people will perceive the term guys as now. It wasn't
the same.
It wasn't back then, but just the way it was used. I guess there were kids, and how do you get someone's attention? And it's a group of guys.
Yeah, I really like the dynamic between all of the kids and how they bounce off of each other so well. There's a great interview with Richard Donner, how he says that individually, all of these kids are amazing, and he loves them like they're his own.
Mm.
Put them together in a room,
and they're the Goonies.
And you want to kill yourself in 5 minutes. it's like wrangling cats.
I think the opening scene in the house, I like how they all have that play, that interplay. They're all doing their own thing. They've got Brandt there, you know. I love his relationship as well.
Brandt, you know, I love.
It's not, I thought initially, the big brother, he's just going to be this tough. He doesn't want to be anywhere near these guys. He's upset. He's failed his driver's license, but he's a really cool big brother.
I thought the exact same thing. Like, I'd forgotten because I thought he was kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
you know, me watching it as a kid. But no, he is so supportive and an actual friend to these kids. It was so nice to see. I did not think that a movie that was set, you know, and made this long ago would be that progressive in showing like a really good older brother figure.
Yeah.
Like, because there's such room there for just a jerk older brother character. Yeah. And the fact that they didn't go with it, like Chris Columbus was the writer of this film, who you'd know from...
Home Alone.
I knew that one.
Yeah. I knew that one.
Perfect. I deliberately paused then. I didn't forget Home Alone. No, I didn't. I forgot.
You didn't pause. Did you hear my inhale? Sure you did, Lee. Sure, you paused. Yeah, so...
A deliberately encouraging and warm older brother character was just awesome. Yeah. They need him on this adventure.
And I think they need him to be like that as well. Because he has to support them through, you know. They can't have extra negativity going through this cavernous tunnel of dangers.
Yeah.
But it's also a nice kind of love interest twist that they have in there with one of the two girls that join them who Andy. Are all friends. Yeah.
Andy, you goonie! I love this movie.
In the well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, a bit cliched as well with the developers coming to take over the houses and just happens to be that the guy's son is at the high school. And
classic. Yeah, but it's like when stuff like that happens, you really have to remind yourself it's a kid's movie. It's an adventure. Yeah. Like, you have to have that kind of over-the-top villainous character. Like, when they're on the beach and he's like, it's time to sign it now. And he's just being so over-dramatically evil. And like, the only thing he's missing is like a monocle and a top hat and a cackle.
Yeah, an evil laugh.
Yeah.
One of the scenes that really, that I always remembered.
You're looking at the richest people in Astoria. Sorry, the line. I had to get it out. I forgot what it was.
When he's driving in the convertible. I can't remember his name. I'll find his name. Driving in the convertible.
Idiot McStupid face.
The first time you see them and Brand is riding the tricycle and he grabs his arm on the side of the car and starts to accelerate on this windy mountain road. I just can't... Okay, maybe it's me being a dad and kids ride bikes and I'm always freaking out. I ride a bike. And I was like, that is so dangerous.
Young man, do you have any idea as to what you're doing?
Brand, lift your feet off the pedals. Lift your feet off the pedals. But when he rides off the edge of that cliff, that's bad. That's
excellent thing. E.T. the extraterrestrial reference. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Oh, on purpose?
Very much on purpose. Steven Spielberg is a producer on this film as well as had a... Quite a heavy hand in the overseeing of the director in this movie. So I hear, and so the stories go.
Was it Amblin? Did Amblin do this?
I mean, it must be if he's a producer, I guess.
Did we get that classic Amblin?
I don't remember seeing the Amblin logo.
No?
Oh, motorbike. Just as we were talking about Brandt on the bike. We planned that. We didn't put that in after.
You think we just record in like a spare bedroom or anything? It's
so warm right now. Literally last episode we were talking about how we love the heat. And like we live here because of how warm it is. And people complain and we're like, no, we love it. Now we're sitting here going, oh my God, we're dying. It's so hot. And that's what Queensland is like where we live. It on a dial, it just shifts.
Yeah. It's hot. Okay. So bad guy. He's a very silly bad guy and he totally gets it at the well.
I love it when he gets it in the bathroom at the country club the toilet spurs. We're probably doing all of our What About When moments here. We didn't discuss those before we started recording, which is interesting. Right. It's the first time we've done that. And when he like smacks against the ground, just immediately calls out, Daddy! Yeah. Perfect. So good.
Yeah. And you're right. That's where it's a kid's film and every kid watching is like, yeah. It's just so comical. He blasts up to the roof, doesn't he?
Yeah, all the way to the roof, yeah.
Yes. Because he's a bully. And that's what you want every bully to get.
Yeah.
But you just wish someone else was watching.
We were watching.
I wanted there to be some people in the bathroom as well. Someone at the sink or someone just walking in to see him do that. And he'd call out Daddy and not realize that everyone was in there.
Well, there would have been the director and... the cinematographer and the rest of the crew all would have been sitting in the... No, is that too breaking the fourth wall? We like to be transported into the world that we watch. Sorry, Terrence.
Oh, my Lord. Terrence silently takes a sip of water while in his head starts judging
me. Whilst we're talking about the villains, this is probably a really good section to jump into the Fratelli family.
Mm-hmm.
Because I adore these characters and I didn't really appreciate them when I was a kid. To the extent that I do now after just the one rewatch that I had this week. They are incredible. The relationship between the two brothers, not including Sloth, obviously, is just so real in a heightened way as well. Like, the way that they fight and talk to each other.
Two preteens.
Yeah, like, the way that they... Like, the mother is, like, she definitely has a favorite. and they both like really know it is just plays for such great comedy. It was perfect.
Yeah, you wonder how their life of crime started. This family of bandits, and the mother's the ringleader. They're always just bitching at each other.
I love the strong matriarch character who just is completely dominant over her two sons, and they just also they love her, but they're so scared of her, and yeah, it's wonderful.
She's good. You get that, like when the Goonies go into the restaurant, I'm thinking, why are you going into this restaurant? It is burnt out. It's not closed for this. What are you doing, boys?
The way that they like rationalize everything as well.
They're trying to convince themselves.
So that's a summer place. What's it doing open in the fall? It's like, oh, they're probably just bringing food into the kitchen. Like I saw him carrying a giant human-sized bag. It's like, oh, it's probably just a meat or, you know, supplies. And
there's two customers. There you go. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Bullet shots.
No, nah. someone probably dropped a pan or something in the
and they
the
were like,
kitchen.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So they good. Really want to go on an adventure. But when they go in, and the mother, what's her, Ma? I don't know. And
call her Ma.
Slams the door behind them, and, you know, what do you want?
How long have your kids been at that window?
Man, the way that mouth starts...
Corey Feldman.
Avila's Galabini.
Yeah. What do you want? Water. Four waters. Is that it? No. I want Avila's Galabini. Doesn't have no idea what he's talking about.
Well,
fake Italian.
I reckon he can speak Spanish pretty well.
No, he does speak Spanish pretty well, but well, the character does. Corey Feldman does not speak Spanish well. Apparently, he said a lot of things wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I have a knack. I can't speak Spanish.
No.
Or many other
languages.
He
sounded like he was doing it really well.
I don't think so. I can hear it when there's an accent on a different...
Ah, interesting.
I don't know. If there's anyone else out there, back me up. I don't know. I can't speak Spanish, but I could tell that he also couldn't speak Spanish.
Right, okay. Rosalita could speak Spanish.
Probably.
Yeah, no.
Didn't
she
hear
actually,
her say many
she
things.
She actually helped with the script. And helped teach Corey Feldman how to do his Spanish language lines.
That's cool.
Which was super fun. Yeah, that was a
great
sweet story.
Scene there, but that's not the villains.
No, back to the villains.
The water, and she slams the water down, and it's orangey
thank you,
brown.
Sir. I mean, ma'am. They're so nervous. They're like, is this water? It's wet, isn't it? Drink it.
Oh, she just instills this fear, and Mikey's trip to the bathroom. Stay to the right. Stay to the right.
Hey, Mikey. Need to go to the bathroom.
he's such a... I don't know. He's that prankster. I didn't like him at the beginning because he's just totally against Chunk or like makes fun of him. And,
yeah, I didn't like the bullying.
You know, yeah, there's bullying within the group and you get the sense of the kids who just want to be part of the group to be a part of something. But you can tell that Chunk is adored by all of them. But you just wish that Mouth would shut up.
Yeah.
But that's the point.
He's literally called Mouth. And it plays in really well into the end where the Fratellis come in to onto the pirate ship when they're there and they rob the kids. And they're taking all of the jewels and gold back off them. And Ma is like taking the things off Mouth. And she's like, you're the one they call Mouth, aren't you? Why are you so quiet all of a sudden? She just pulls the giant string of pearls out of his mouth and then she spits all of the rest of the jewels out. It's so funny.
That's pretty cool. That's cool. And she does the turning point and tries to get Sloth to remember.
Back on the side, yeah.
Oh, remember, I used to sing to you and then... You dropped him.
Yep.
Awful. Twice.
Terrible mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, those two brothers and just the way that they bounce off each other so well. I would have loved to have seen what it was like for the casting of this film and them auditioning with each other because it would have been electric. Mm. Like the way that they go at each other. You can tell that they've probably had similar life experiences before. I don't know if they knew each other or not before the making of this film, but... They were brothers in my eyes. They acted exactly the way that brothers do.
Yeah, there was never any doubt of they're acting. Yeah. You know, are they pretending to be brothers? I guess you could believe it, but yeah, you absolutely could.
It's all of the little moments as well, like when they're, you know, like just tripping over each other or wrestling each other. The way that they're tied together up in the
And like, still bickering.
They're still bickering at each other. When they come down, they land. And they both ask, like, are you okay? Are you okay? Yep, cool. We can go back to try to kill each other now.
Yeah. That was good. That's good. It's good fun. And they are scary. They're scary because they're actually dangerous.
Yeah.
Because they are capable of killing. They one's in jail. He pretends to kill himself. They go out. They shoot this ring of fire around the cops.
So cheesy.
Very evil. Yeah. I think there was a Mythbusters done on that.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Busted.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary as hell. And the mother is just frightening.
So intimidating.
And the hand in the blender, yeah, that was one of the scariest things.
That, yeah, traumatized me as a kid.
It's, yeah.
And you have to have the humor to balance that out. If you don't, then it's just even more horrifying. And yeah, Chunk's confession scene. This is one of my what about whens where
this,
like,
is also a call-in what about when.
Oh really?
An Insta what about when.
Yeah, where they say tell us everything, and he just spills his guts over his entire life story. I love it. We'll get into it a little bit more if it's coming through Instagram.
It's coming. But I grew up with a household that had a food processor. I knew how dangerous they are, and that fear was real. They did well, and it was they put tomatoes in it. She drops tomatoes in, so it's bloody.
It's like
already
actually going.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's awesome. Brilliant, brilliant villains. Excellent.
A lot of fun. All right. And slapstick comedy. The log, the wet log.
Oh,
the slipping over and
the backflip landing.
That's awesome. That log, by the way, is also in the Cyndi Lauper film clip. Anyway, yes.
I'm sure that 7 minutes would be, I guess.
It's right to the end. Skip to the end of the film clip. Not to the end of this. You can skip to the end of this if you want to see the what about whens and when we talk about putting it on the calendar. But yes, great. Great villains. Let's move on.
Pin in that. Moving on. Villains. Done. I mean, we talked a little bit about the
the camaraderie. Keep on trucking.
Wonder why we keep saying that. Such a weird reference.
Looking for a place to put it the whole time. I'll do it now.
I did it last episode, and Tara was like, that's a weird thing for Lee to say. It's gonna come into effect at the end of this episode, don't you worry.
So let's do it. What were you going to say?
I was going to say we talked a little bit about the camaraderie of the Goonies themselves, but I'd love to take a little bit more of a deep dive because they absolutely deserve their own little section here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Goonies crew.
Yeah.
And the way that they all work together so well, I think. Child actors are hard to find of a certain caliber, and to get this many that are that good is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's a Steven Spielberg thing, a production thing, because he's really good at finding young talent. Like you look at E.T. and the kids in that, like Drew Barrymore in her first film is the younger sister in there, as well as the kid whose name I can't think of who actually plays Elliot in the film. That's going to annoy me for a while, but that's all right.
Lee, how can you not know that? Oh, you should be ashamed.
I am so embarrassed. Oh. You tell me later after I've whirled in my embarrassment for a while.
Oh, you can't believe you don't even know his name. There are even those go on YouTube and type his name in.
And the clips will come up.
And all the audition tapes. Wonderful audition tape of him auditioning for the film. This actor who's
unnamed.
I know
that there's a lot of people who normally listen to us on their podcast app of choice rather than watch. So what I was going to do then was just look at my phone and look it up and go, oh, this is it. I remember now.
And no one
would have been the wiser. I decided to not. I'm gonna sit in it and let myself suffer.
Busted. I'm going to find out and I'm not even going to tell you.
Well, I'm going to... Oh, thank you. That's very you thing to do. Yeah. I'm going to talk about the Goonies crew.
I've got his name here. I'll tell you.
Click on his name. Let me see if has he done anything else of note that I would know.
No, it's talking about the Goonies.
Oh, fine. Oh my god.
It's just E.T.
Yeah. Okay. That's why. I should still know it.
I'll give you a clue. His character name was Elliot. which starts.
Oh, I've got it.
Which
now.
Starts with an E.
Thank you.
And the film title is E.T. His surname, in real life, starts with a T.
Actually, we don't normally do this because we like to keep the episodes kind of not dated so people can jump in and out as they please whenever they like. People could watch this years in the future. But something really exciting happened this week.
Are you changing the subject?
With one of my favorite actors. And so I just would like to say a big congratulations to Elliot Page. I see you, I stand with you, and it's amazing. Congratulations.
You'll have to tell me later what that's about.
Okay. Terrence is not that plugged into social media.
I'd plug into things.
Sean Astin.
I do hashtags.
No, please don't do that ever again. We've spoken about this.
Do you do it twice or just once?
No, you don't do it at all. You do it zero times, and if you have hashtag. To do it, you do it under the table.
You do two syllables. Hashtag.
Oh my gosh. Sean Astin is in this film, as well as Josh Brolin, the two brothers.
Hashtag Brandon Sean Astin. Hashtag Josh Brolin.
Take it away, Terrence. I'm going to have a break.
You'll see him all on Insta. Where is he going? He's never left I've the left scene the before.
I'm going.
Okay, so the Goonies. Sean Astin, spelled S-E-A-N.
Oh, no. That's right. I remembered in the last episode, you are impossible to get to vamp. You have no idea. Well, I should have learned my lesson. I said I did, and I clearly haven't.
You got to give me something to but go no,
so
with.
Sean Astin, I shouldn't have to. You're a podcaster. Sean Astin is... the ringleader of the Goonies crew.
I was going to say that.
Take off then, by the way. So sorry for interrupting you, Terrence. Continue.
Brand is his brother, older brother, who is a fitness freak,
played by the incredible Josh Brolin, Thanos himself.
I haven't even seen Endgame.
You don't even know what that means, Infinity do you? War.
It's a thing.
I can't believe I know that people you haven't do seen it. Infinity War.
People do it.
Snap.
They call it the Thanos snap or something.
Should I spoil it for Terrence right now on the podcast?
And Josh Brolin is a fitness guy who wears a headband. Is that where you were going with that?
No, but good try.
Okay, keep going.
Sean Astin is the ringleader of this group. I love the dynamic just between all of these characters. They feel very lived in, and I think that's because a lot of the actors probably are a lot like their characters. Being so young, that's kind of what you look for when you're casting kids like that. You kind of find ones that are close to the character because it makes it...
The acting becomes a lot easier.
Far more easier, yeah, for the kids. A lot more natural. Yeah.
Responses are more natural. Everything is... Yep. Yeah. Continue.
Thank you. You jump in at any time.
I'm trying.
All right. And the way that they all sort of bounce off each other and fully believe the adventure that they're going on. I love Mikey's just... dedication to this story that his father has told him, and so that when he finds the map, like the pure elation that you hear in his voice and you see on his face and in his eyes, like he absolutely believes this is true, it is fact, and just chases it down. And again, having that supportive older brother to help him along the way is just so nice to see. It's such a nice experience to watch that, and I'm glad that they put it in him. And he has moments of you know, trepidation. Brandt, obviously, he's looking out for his brother. We've got to get back. He doesn't want to get grounded. So when they're in like the restaurant and it's like, it's a dead end, they can't go anywhere. It's like, we have to go home, let's go. And then Chunk breaks the water bottle. One of my favorite scenes of the entire film. I don't know why, but as a kid, I just lost it. I got it. I don't got it. You klutz. Have I mentioned that I've seen this film quite a lot? I've seen this film so much that the Spanish that Corey Feldman's character says,
you know,
I memorized.
Oh my God.
In fact, I was like mouthing it when I watched it the other day with the person who hadn't seen it. And they're like, would you just shut up?
You're mouthing it with a bad accent.
Yeah, I probably
bad
was.
Bad Spanish.
Yeah, even though it wasn't audible, it had a horrible accent underneath in my throat. I could feel it. And then the water starts trickling down and Mikey's like, do you hear that? It goes deeper. And Brandt immediately goes into action mode. He's like, yeah, it does. Let's investigate. Let's check it out. Yeah, really cool. Supportive older brother. I love it.
I was told... Oh, aeroplane. You hear the plane?
To be on a plane again.
Should we? I can't wait. Someone is. Maybe it's supplies.
Should we what? Keep going.
Yeah, okay. I'm just kind of vamping here. While the plane gets quiet. All right, plane is quiet. We can even edit that out. I can't even remember what I was going to talk about now.
You're going to talk about Data and how cool of a character he is with all of his gadgets.
Oh, how cool of a character is Data with all of his gadgets. Hey, you guys. Check this out. I can't remember the names that he calls all these gadgets, but it's really sweet. I love that.
The Pinches of Peril.
Have you got the list?
No, I don't have a list. I just remember that I know the film backwards.
I totally love it. I love
Bully Blinders.
Something for every... Yeah, the halogens.
Yeah.
That's why they're draining your batteries. Get some LEDs, son, if they're invented in the 80s.
Yeah.
Were they out then?
I have no idea. Get something more environmentally friendly.
So cool when he did... Very cool. And how they come out at every...
Slick Shoes.
Oh, but I'm trying to talk here. Slick Shoes on the log.
Yeah.
Backflipping villains. I love that he has made all these gadgets, and I know that, okay, it comes into play at the end, but I remember at the beginning thinking, wow, he must have really cool parents to allow him to explore and test all this stuff out and buy all these little trinkets and spend time making his gadgets, and, you know, that they're supporting him enough. And then, of course, at the end, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake. when Data's dad comes out with his little failed punchy mechanism, which is just super sweet. I read that in that end scene.
I was going to mention this.
Well, good. I don't research too much stuff, but through the years, I knew
you would love this, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah,
take it away.
All of the kids' real parents were able to be part of that final reunion scene.
Not all of them, just in case people another. Are like...
Weren't they?
There's quite a lot. Like,
okay,
like
good.
Chunk's mum is actually Jeff Cohen's mum. And yeah, so there's a few in there of their actual parents, which is just so lovely. I love that the parents have minimal play in this film. Like, this is a story of a girl on the river and drown the whole world. Sorry.
Don't worry, I don't know what he
it's
just
my,
did. Either.
It's my brain that does that.
Oh, that's a song.
People, it's a song, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's a story of these kids. And so that's who we spend our time with. We get a bit of play with his mum. With the mum, and we get a little bit of the dad as he's riding the bike past the school. It's like, hey, son, hey, dad. And that's all we see until the end.
Yeah. Why did the mother have a busted arm? Do we have any ideas? Was she in a fight with the richest people in Astoria?
I think, yeah, she got into a fist fight with one of the other local parents.
At the shopping centre.
Yeah.
Trying to buy toilet paper, probably. Yes.
no idea why she had it, but it was a good device to use to be able to, they need the housekeeper to come in.
Rosalita.
Yeah.
Do you think, I was thinking, okay, why did they bring Rosalita in? Obviously, it was used so we could get an idea of mouth's cheekiness. And also at the end, Rosalita is the one who finds the doubloon.
Yeah.
At the
gemstones.
End. But was
the
it
obviously very, very fake gemstones?
But very, very expensive. But why did it have to be Rosalita that discovered that? Like, this film could have worked without Rosalita.
It was always going to be her. The original ending of the film, I think, had it ending in the house when they were packing up, and she found the marble bag when she was packing.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was always going to be a part of it.
I wonder why.
Yes, the movie works without her, but it also works without the other female Goonie character in the film. And like, it's just representation is important, and I'm glad that she's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if she is a older Spanish woman playing a housemaid.
Yeah, no stereotypes.
It's still the '80s. Yeah,
used at all. Okay, so Data, really cool. Is Data the same actor that's in the Indiana Jones?
I don't know. I thought that when I watched it, and then I completely forgot when the movie ended.
See,
and
I
forgot to research it.
I can't remember, but it was just the same kind of expressive, surprised attitude with everything that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I'm going to find out.
But you know,
keep going. See if you can vamp
the character development. I love. Chunk is just so funny. As much as there's a little bit of humor that's made at the expense of him with, you know, obviously what do they make him do? The truffle shuffle?
The truffle shuffle. I'm glad you remembered because that is like the biggest cult thing from here.
The truffle shuffle, I think the reason why I remember it is a truffle shuffle is the name of a burger at one of my favorite burger joints.
Is the burger joint called the Goonies Burger Shop?
No, it's not. No. Sorry, it I just completely stopped talking.
It is.
It is the same kid?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, there's the Spielberg reference.
Yeah. He plays Short Round.
Yes.
Short Round. Oh, man. That's right. That brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah. I prefer the character Long Square.
That's not funny. Let's keep going.
I should have said Tall Square. Damn it!
Don't do jokes like that.
Why? Because they're yours and
that
I
was my knowing,
take them?
My knowing head tilt to the audience. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm in pain too.
He's got you covered. No, he's normally the one to do those jokes.
You can skip past this. I have to sit
No,
here.
Chunk is so lovely and charming and so funny. That kid, Jeff Cohen, if you look at a photo of him now, looks nothing like he did when he was a kid. Mm. I remember reading there was an issue of Empire magazine that did a retrospective on the Goonies. I'm not sure for what year it would have been. And they had all of the cast came back for a photo shoot, and I couldn't pick who one of the characters was until I was like reading the interview, and they had the names of the people in the order that they were standing, and it was Jeff Cohen, and I was like, oh my goodness. And he turned up in like a nice, like a really nice, like charcoal gray suit, like a white shirt. I had no idea. Apparently, like, that's what happens, right? Kids grow up.
Yeah. He didn't like playing the fat kid.
No, of course you wouldn't.
On the show. I mean, no, yeah, you wouldn't. And I think that was one of the reasons that got him to change his image.
Yeah, he also might have just grown into it as well.
Yeah, but no, yeah, I know, but like it really affected him a lot. There was a mentality there of... Yeah, it really did.
Not being he's known like, as the fat kid.
I'm not going to do this. I'm changing my life.
That's great. Good on him. Yeah. Very proud. I think he's a solicitor now or something.
I don't know. But I did also see that he's only done the Truffle Shuffle once outside of the film.
Good. That's probably... That's once too many, if I'm honest.
And it was through some huge... Like a whole football field of spectators started chanting when he went to... I don't know if he was singing the anthem or he just announced the beginning of the game or something. But it was something like that. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
But after that, not again. And that was one of the meanest parts in the whole thing. Apart from all the shootings.
It is probably when the mouth it is does the meanest, that. Yeah.
And I thought they were painting mouth as a totally different character.
I thought the same. It took a while for me. Yeah.
No, it took a while for me to get over it in the film to start to warm to mouth.
I'm glad that in the VHS copy that I had at home, that scene's not in it.
Yeah, right.
Because it cuts, like I didn't see that scene, which, yeah, is... I'm really glad because that probably would have left an impression on me as a kid to be like, oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And that's appropriate humor when it's not. Like, don't do that. That's horrible.
It wasn't funny for me either when I watched it. I thought, why are they making this kid do this?
Yeah.
Especially way out there. And I don't know.
What year did this movie come out? Was it 85?
I don't know.
I think it was. I think this movie came out in 1985, which is actually before I was born.
Lee.
So it must have been, this must have been one of my older brother's favorite films.
Don't do this. Goonies 2?
Don't.
What?
Discoveries? No, don't look at that.
Goonies 11?
Your eyes are connected Goonies to your brain. 25? Don't read anything about that.
Here we go. What am I looking up? When was it made?
Yeah.
Well, usually we know this. Usually I even know this. 85.
I see. Yeah, cool. I was right. I should have gone with my instincts and just said it. And then people could have corrected me.
What a horrible episode. He's getting so much wrong.
I think the... Are there any other characters I really want to talk about? Unfortunately, the female characters in this film don't really have that much motivation other than one of them is in love with Brand. And the other one's just a friend who sort of comes along. They play piano.
Well, she finds love too.
They hated each other.
I know.
On set.
Oh, on set.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, like those two actors really didn't like each other. Or maybe she didn't like him.
Well, yeah.
I think
it's Corey.
Is the way that around. Yeah, it's Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman as a teenage actor.
Yeah,
he's not playing the classiest of roles either.
No,
very unlikable.
Yep.
They had a scene which was cut, or also through the ears. I found these in the ship scene at the end when they all dive into the water. I don't know the legitimacy of it, but I remember watching it thinking, what on earth? It's like a giant squid scene.
Yeah, the giant octopus.
Giant octopus.
Do you not? So at the very end of the film, Data, depending on where you're from, says at the end, like when they're being interviewed, like, what was the scariest thing? And he's like, oh, the giant octopus attack. And they're like, oh, this bit and that bit. Because there was an actual giant octopus attack that got cut from the film. And I'm glad it did because it just... If you look it up, you'll be able to see it. It looks horrible.
It's a totally different film with that in it as well. It's actually quite scary.
There's enough fantasy
but
in the movie without it.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Jaws. It does look like a ride where the octopus just moves and it's on a belt that sinks down. You're like, but that was... I didn't realize that at all.
But yeah, I love this whole adventure story and how it unfolds, where it's just finding clues and figuring out booty traps.
Booty traps? Booby traps.
That's what I said, booby traps. That was the joke we made at the beginning of the episode that I don't know whether it worked or not.
Why do you think they made a point of Mikey getting words wrong?
It's not just Mikey.
His
mother. A lot of people get...
Oh, really?
Data does it. His mother does it. He does it.
Yeah, they're the only three. I think the mother, it's like it's hereditary or there's something.
When the mother did it for the first time, I was like, oh, that's where he gets it from.
And Data, well, I think it's just assumed that as a, maybe English as a second language or something. I don't know. I'm like, well, why are they doing that with Data but not with the other guys? I don't know. I was trying to piece it together. But why did they make a... Because it was the same mistake. It was the same type of thing. I thought maybe it was an impediment or it was a some... I don't know.
I think it's just fun. I think it's just a fun thing to put. It would have been scripted, absolutely. And it just would have been a fun thing to put in there to just humanize our characters a little bit have a bit of a laugh at
that.
Absolutely, that's what it would have been.
All right.
Yeah, whilst it's not the most naturally flowing way of dialogue, it's very funny.
Yeah. Do you have it's not a what about when, but do you have a most memorable scene?
Well, I mean, that'd be what about when's, right? For me, it's the chunk scene where he drops the water bottle, and I don't know why it just hits me so hard, and it's probably just from when I watched it over and over as a kid. It was just the funniest thing to me, him being being like, he's has this real serious moment of like, I don't even remember what happens leading up to it, but he's really upset and he's just, that's it, I've had all I can stand, I can't stand no more, and then I got it. I don't even remember what happens on the lead up to it, but
I've forgotten too, is it when they don't leave, and he's like, I was in the fridge with the dead guy,
No, he's telling them off because they don't listen to him, right. He's like, there was bullet holes in the car, nobody ever listens to me, like, this is it, I told you, this is my moment, and then he just wrecks himself with the water bottle. It's excellent.
He's hilarious. Yeah, I love it.
Wonderful. So that might be the the way that they solve all of these puzzles and end up finding the One-Eyed Willy's ship to be able to go and get the treasures to save their hometown. Fun fact about that scene: they didn't show any of the cast the ship because they built it. They built that whole thing. It was huge. And they had all of the kids get into the water and they blocked it off from view. And then they rolled the cameras and they got the kids to turn around and look at it for the first time. And that was their genuine reactions of them being like, oh, wow. But they couldn't use the first take because Josh Brolin saw the ship and swore. He turned around and Terrence will probably bleep it out. But like, they all turned around and Josh Brolin went, holy shit.
I don't have to bleep that.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so funny.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize that. So then they had to act there.
Yeah, then they had to do the second one. Yeah, they would have had coverage cameras, I'd have imagined as well. But yeah, that set was huge.
That was.
So yeah, genuine reaction.
And a full like swimming pool or whatever. Like they had to jump off. Yeah. That was a high jump.
Yeah, the walk the plank.
That could easily have been near a 10-meter drop.
Oh.
Maybe it was not.
I mean, the kids falling off it, so it probably looks higher than what it is. Probably it would have been a few meters, probably three or four meters.
I'll say seven.
Sure, whatever.
No, it was more than three or four.
It's in country. Sure, it's seven.
Good.
The answer is seven.
You heard it here first.
Definitively.
Lee said it's 7 meters.
Yeah.
It was a really beautiful set too. It looked magical. It looked like it was in a movie.
Yeah. Straight out of the fantasy mind of Christopher Columbus and Steven Spielberg and Richard Donner.
My favorite scene is not a what about when, but one that gels with me and sticks with me the whole time. As a kid, I loved water slides. The water slide scene was just that for me. That was magic, and that was full adventure. That was when I thought, this is such a cool thing that they're all doing, and I forgot about all the danger.
Yeah. get a reprieve.
You know, it was so cool, and the way they're spinning around, you know, they would have had some fun doing that. I always like when you realize, okay, they're going to enjoy themselves. Although I bet you someone will find something that they really hated it or something like that. I don't know. But I had fun watching that bit.
Upon reflection on it now, I think my favorite scene would actually have to be a dramatic scene from the rewatch this week. And it's the scene where they end up at the bottom of the well and they discover that it's a wishing well for their town.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is it. This is the treasure. And they start pocketing all the coins. And Andy is like stop.
Mm.
Like, you can't take someone's these. Wishes. These are people's wishes. Like, you can't do that. And they all have this collective, you know, wow, yeah, you're right. And it shows really good character development for them. Mm. Like, they're not just in it for the money. They actually have a heart and they're kind and they think about others and they're selfless.
Mm.
And then, when Mouth has that moment of picking up picking up one of the coins and saying, "Well, no, like this is my dream, my wish, and it didn't come true, so I'm taking it back." And then goes down under the water, which I never understood that as a kid. I'm like, where's he going? Is there like a cave that he's like swimming under?
To get his dream?
Yeah.
His dream going.
Yeah.
he just lays on his belly.
It's like a great exit out of a scene. Like a really classic, like, I love, there's a lot of really good exits in like Edgar Wright films where characters will just like turn and run away from the camera. So we're going to talk about a lot of his movies during the filming of this podcast.
Wes Anderson does that a bit too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he does. Well, yes, the hotel one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so good. Characters running away from the camera. Cool exits from a shot is great. And yeah, Corey that Feldman has a great moment where he's like a proper, proper dramatic moment and then just dives under the water.
Oh, I totally forgot about how impactful that is.
Yeah.
And that now he just lays down in
his jacket,
ankle
up.
Deep water. I just think of it as the kids pool.
Yeah.
At the public swimming pool. I remember taking my little kids there and try to swim in it, and I'm like, yeah, that's all right, you're not gonna drown in that thing, I'll just be here in case you forget to roll over. The way he falls down into that, yeah, okay, that's funny.
Yeah, so I think that's probably my favorite scene in the film. It shows us who these kids really are.
You goonie.
Yeah
there's a bit in the attic at the beginning where Chunk also mentions how they relate to the Goonies and how they feel associated with each other as the rejects of society.
Yep.
As well, you know, so they already feel downtrodden. These are kids who have found each other. They're all extremely different, yet they've all got a place, and it's such a great concept that they're all going on this journey together. They're all helping each other. It's dangerous. They can get themselves through anything.
Yep. The realization that they have, that they've made it further than anyone else has before, with like the Chester Copperpot plot line as well. Like he was a professional, and like he didn't make it this far.
I wrote something down when they find Copperpot's body. He's crushed by this boulder. He's a skeleton. I had to write it. Data looks at the skeleton. He goes, "Oh, he's dead for sure."
I don't remember that. That's so funny. That's such a Data thing to say.
In his, he yells every line. Yeah. He's dead for sure.
It's actually hilarious. Fun fact about that scene: the playing card, not the playing card, the
ID,
the baseball card. Oh. That he has in his diary, is it Lou Gehrig? I think it's Lou Gehrig is the baseball card that they pull out.
Chester Copperpot's diary?
Yes.
Okay.
Is worth $250,000.
Was it an actual card?
It would have been a... No. It would have been a prop.
Was the prop real though?
No, it wouldn't have been real. But like in the fictional world, if it's set in our world, then that real card, obviously in mint condition, has gone to auction for $250,000, which probably would have saved the town.
Back then in the 80s.
They could have just been like, oh, cool, we're done. No need for Willy's treasure.
Well, they didn't find that, but they found a doubloon.
Yeah,
the doubloon. Oh, no, they didn't find the doubloon. Did they find the real doubloon?
They found the doubloon and gems. No, it's in the... No, the doubloon they use to find where the shack is. And it's in the map. It's in the... When Chunk breaks the map.
What a great word, doubloon.
It's so good, right?
And Mike is like, hey, Chuck.
When Mike's your Chunk.
I didn't do it.
You can see him working it out as well. He's like, I need to get this map out of this like casing. How do I do it? It's like, Chunk, can you come over here? Hands it to him.
No, he calls him. He goes, hey, Chunk. And Chunk's like, I didn't break it. Yeah,
I didn't touch it.
No, come here. Yeah, the countdown is beautiful.
Smash. What did you do, you idiot?
It's so cool that Chunk is also the one who, through another one of his accidents, he kicks over another frame. Which is the newspaper clipping of Chester Copperpot's...
Of course it is.
...adventure.
Because that's how that works.
Hey, you guys, look at this.
Yeah. I'm like, that's what kids used to do in the 80s, pick up random newspaper articles and be like, wow, everyone, read this. Because they had no other form of entertainment.
Oh.
Well, no, it's wonderful. The cultural impact that this film had on the landscape of cinema is massive as well.
Yeah.
Like, change the game for adventure and kids' adventure. Like, without this film, there's no Stranger Things on Netflix. Like, that show does not exist without the Goonies, because that show is essentially the Goonies, but with aliens?
I haven't seen it. What?
I think?
No, I actually haven't, but I know that that's what it's about.
Yeah,
it's on the posters, people.
Yeah. So yeah, without this film, there is no Stranger Things. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, this is the epitome of fun adventure films in the '80s.
Yeah, for kids.
Let's
see if I got any other notes.
How's that for scraping the bottom of the barrel? Let's see if we've got any other notes for talking about this film. I like the vibe of it. Yeah. I totally like the vibe. It's fun all the way. It's colourful. The sets are amazing. Every single set could be used in a Halloween setup in your house, pretty much. The booby traps are awesome. And I think the booby trap at the beginning, or the mechanism for opening the front gate.
Is it a little Goldberg machine? Rube Goldberg?
Yeah, I think so.
I think is what they're called.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it, and I thought, no, don't go down that way. Just talk about the sequence of event machine.
It's the Dunning-Kruger machine.
To open the front gate. And I always thought, why did they do that? Isn't Data the one who is the gadget guy? But that was just to
Mikey. It shows Mikey's into it.
Yeah, he's very intuitive and has this intuition and ingenuity to work things out. Yeah.
Apparently there's a novelization of this film where I read it yesterday and I should have written it down, and it has something to do with One-Eyed Willy and Mikey, and there's something that happens on the ship and Mikey figures out, and this isn't in the film, so I don't think this is canon, but figures out that he is like the reincarnation of One-Eyed Willy. Yeah, right? Which is how he was able to find his treasure and get through all of his booby traps.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's
cool.
I think that's a thing.
That would be really cool if that happened.
I think so. It can be real. You can make it whatever you want. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what gave him the drive. That's how he knew. That's how they got that far. Yeah. Because he laid all the traps.
Oh, so much swashbuckling in this film at the end as well, when they're on the ship and they got the swords.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. Real Errol Flynn moments as well.
I love when they're at that big organ in the middle of the thing where all the ground falls.
That's awesome.
And then you realize, oh, they could have just walked damn it.
Well, they had to lower the bridge.
Yeah, and they didn't know there was a bridge. They go there. That was brilliant. And all the keys were actual skeletal fingers.
Yeah.
How many people died with him?
Lots.
His crew died.
They probably would have pillaged towns being pirates and stuff.
They couldn't get out.
No, but before they got there.
But they don't collect the bodies and bring them with them on the boat.
It's a fantasy film. I don't have answers to everything. Maybe they did. Maybe there was a big crew on this ship.
Yeah, you're right.
The ship is actually based off a real ship, a real pirate ship.
It looks like a classic pirate ship.
I can't remember which one it is.
Probably the one in Peter Pan.
Probably the one in Peter Pan.
Which was probably based on the real one that you're thinking of.
Maybe.
I had a couple of cool things written down, but I think they're about the What About When.
We're just starting to talk about moments now. So would you like to go into What About When?
I think... So before saying that, yes, rich stuff was used a lot instead of treasure. I think they only said treasure like 2 times in the film.
Yep.
And every other time they talked about it as being rich stuff.
Yep. Love that.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
I always wonder why. Hey, you guys, I said, when they did the exteriors of the house right towards the beginning, they really wanted to lay home that it was like autumn, that it was fall, I guess. Because they would have had some props crew just throwing leaves off the roof. If you watch it back, the leaves fall in a beautiful clumped style just off the roof. Nowhere else. I'm just watching it going, this is hilarious.
It's like at the end when the dad rips up the contract. He's like, there'll be no more signing today or ever again. And he throws him in the air. And then you see behind it, someone else throws like a whole bunch of other pieces of paper after him. It's so funny.
I love that stuff with dated films.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some fluff floating in front of me. I love that with dated films. It's just beautiful that they... I don't know what it is. It's a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It's a little nod to knowing a little bit more and understanding
production. It's little imperfections that you just love and that make them, you know, more endearing.
And it makes you realize this is a movie. Like, there have been so many people that have gone into, that have put their heart and soul and lives into making this piece of art for other people's enjoyment. You know, I love that. I love that. That's why we're doing this, right?
So enjoy it. That's what we're here to do. We're here to celebrate. So we'll move into our world famous segment. I haven't said that for a while. Hashtag what about when? Where we...
Oh my God. If you don't know what I'm doing, I'm not describing it, but you have to watch on YouTube because it is groundbreaking. I don't think it's ever been done before.
That was disgusting. Anyway.
It's going to be a meme.
This is where we would like your contributions. The best way to do it is on Instagram or Twitter. We are at The Movie Cal. We also have an email as well, themoviecal@gmail.com. All of these can be found in the description below, as well as on our website, themoviecalendar.com. Best to use the hashtag whataboutwhen so that we can find it. And we'll put them in the show here. Terrence, do you have any whataboutwhens?
Yes, I do. I was doing that for a little while, sorry. You'll see it when you watch back on the episode.
I saw it now.
I'm going to open up Instagram. And I'm going to go, because we do have some What About Whens. I'm kind of new to Instagram since doing The Movie Calendar. I didn't really do much on it. And I think they've just done an update. So now I've got to press. There we go.
You found it. We got it.
I'm in the right
place. This is great content, by the way. Awesome production value.
The Goonies. This is the post I put up.
Please continue.
Right. Sorry. Okay, we have a couple of What About Whens. Now, they are from a long-time listener, many-time caller, if you like. That's the thing, isn't it? Long-time listener, first-time caller. So we've heard from this person before. Eats Eggs Tarts.
Hi, Eats Eggs Tarts.
Hello again.
Still love the name. Thank you for the contribution.
Cool. I still haven't eaten any egg tarts ever.
We still have to get Terrence an egg tart.
Yes, please. That'd be lovely. I'm not allergic. Okay. Eats Egg Tarts says... Eats Egg Tarts has two What About Whens.
Okay.
What about when Chunk is stuck in the cold room with the stiff corpse and is freaking out, but then he escapes and waves down the car only to find Jake and Francis in there and is captured and lands back in the boot with the stiff corpse?
Oh, you have to help me out. I've been trapped.
So he runs out and he's on the road. It's nighttime and he flags down the car.
One of my favorite lines is in that entire film where he's like, "You're going to be okay. I love the dark. I love the dark. I love the dark. But I hate nature. I hate nature."
It's a great scene because he flags it down and like, he spills his guts to the driver.
Come on, the killers are there. I just escaped from these really disgusting, horrible people. You might have heard of them. They're called the Fratellis. I found their hideout. You got to take me to town and we'll go and bring the cops. Click. Yeah, no, it was just the light that turns on.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I keep thinking the window comes down.
And then he does a...
He sings.
Chunk does like a Hebrew prayer, essentially, which was ad-libbed by Jeff Cohen.
Really?
Yeah, it was an improvisation. They kept it in. I love that moment. And then, Robert Darby just starts to sing.
Starts singing.
Which was an ad-lib from him as well. Like he brought that to that character. He asked, just like, can I sing as an intimidation tactic?
Wow.
Marvelous, because he's a trained opera singer.
That was so cool. What a tactic. Yeah, absolutely.
Terrifying.
And a bit of diversion as well, because Chunk gets grabbed by the other brother, chucks him in the back with the dead guy again.
Yeah, he's back with him. But, you know, in the freezer is great, because he's freaking out that he's seen this dead body, like, obviously. And then as the scene goes on, he's stuck in there with him and just trying to hold him against the wall. Poor, so funny.
Poor kid. But that's a great scene. Let's do the second...
Another one.
The second one from Eats Eggs Tarts. Eats Egg... second one. What about when Chunk spills his guts and he has to confess all the rotten things he's done to Francis?
Two Chunk What About Whens. That's great. I'm glad that we saved this one. Yeah. That whole... Yeah, intimidation, trying to find information out. Like, where are they? What do you know? And they're like, where are your friends? Like, they're in the fireplace. Like, don't play fun with me, kid. We're going to get answers out of you. I'm serious. He's just crying and he's scared. And I don't know whether he was just terrified and his natural reaction was to just word vomit, like, all of these things that had happened in his life, or whether it was like a tactic to, like, stall and delay. I kind of hope it was the latter, because that would be really cool.
I think it might have started
or
like that.
A bit of both.
But he was... scared to buggery, you know. He just didn't know.
Okay, I'll talk.
And that was where I think maybe he wasn't, because he just spilled straight away. They're in the fireplace, right? But then he's like, "What do they want? I better tell them everything."
They want a story,
that was great.
It's so funny, and he is pitch perfect in that entire scene.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it was the writing or whether it was the direction or the acting or just a combination of everything together. But that scene is just awesome to watch. It's so funny. Yeah. And then we're ending with, like, "Hey, I'm beginning to like this kid, Mark."
He's laughing in the background. I love that. He becomes really endearing as a character when he does that too.
The story that he tells at the end where he's like, but that's like the worst thing I did. He tells the movie theater story, which I won't do it because I think making that sound is just awful. Don't ever make that sound under any circumstances. It's disgusting.
I so want to do it.
Is actually a true story.
I'm not doing
from,
it.
Please don't do it, especially on an audio format. As a true story from Steven Spielberg himself did that as a kid in a movie theater.
Well, yeah, I didn't...
some fake vomit and threw it over the balcony and made the sound.
I didn't read the entire What About When, because Eats Egg Tarts actually included the vomit emoji at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. It will be on the screen. Yeah, just don't make the sound. It's awful.
Oh, you know the only reason I'm not making... Quick, I'll make it while he's doing a drink. While he's having a drink, he can't stop me.
No, you might as well unplug your microphone.
The only reason I'm not doing it is because I might get it wrong, and I don't want to get it wrong.
Oh, okay, so, sure.
I could mime it. I won't mime it.
No, please don't.
So do you have What About Wins? Because I have a couple.
I have my own.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Too. A few of them we've already done.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are chunk related, surprisingly enough. The water bottle one is just incredible. We've already spoken about that in the full episode. The under the wishing well, where they realize that the coins that they're pocketing are people's wishes, and so they put them all back, except for Mouth, who keeps his own. Really endearing scene that kind of shows their character.
Their character and the situation that they're in. Yep. We don't see their families, but they're all going through hardship.
You got a What About When?
Oh, wrap it up, Terrence. Yes.
This is a quick rapid segment.
What About When... What's the female character's name? What's
Andy.
What about when Andy kisses Mikey?
That's great. That's really funny.
As a kid, I think I was around Mikey's age when I watched this. I was just thinking, wow, that could happen to me.
Did you watch this with your kids?
No, I didn't this time. No, it was quite late when I rewatched it.
Do you think you will introduce them to this film?
Yeah, I think so. Because the scary bits weren't too scary. They're stylized, but toned down violence. You don't really see much. The dead body worries me of how to explain that. Because I find I feel like as a parent I have to explain things. But maybe I don't. But
they'll get it. Kids are very switched on that sort of stuff.
I would like to watch it with them.
It's such a good adventure.
Yeah, there will be a date in the coming years where I will be able to watch it with them.
Yes, by law.
By absolute law. We established that last episode.
Yeah.
So that was a What About When for me.
I've got a hashtag What About When Mikey gets onto the ship and discovers the quarters where One Eye Willie is and goes and has a chat to him.
Oh, yeah,
and he's like, nice. I did it when I really beat you. Like, I won. And then sort of lifts up the eye patch. And he's like, that's why they call you When I Willie. I love that moment. It's really sweet and a very genuine moment from him. And then when he turns around and notices that all the other Goonies have been sitting there watching him. And how long have you been there? And they're like, just long enough, Mikey.
Yeah.
And then he has the empathy to, which ends up saving their life. The empathy to when they're grabbing the jewels to be like, leave that tray. Like, that one's Willie's.
That's Willie's.
Leave that one for Willie. So great. Great moment.
Yeah. It is a great moment. I'm really trying hard not to smirk every time you say One Eyed Willie. I can't help it. That's why you're called One Eyed Willie.
Ruined it for me.
I reckon as a pirate, you know, pirates are bad people. I reckon there's another reason he's called One Eyed Willie. What about when...
It's like Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
No. What about when... Okay, it's a lead up to it, but what about when Chunk and Sloth appear at the end to save the day? Hey, you guys! And they Errol Flynn down the sail.
So good.
That was really cool.
Well, I've got another really Sloth cool. What About When. We haven't talked about Sloth too much this episode. Awesome character. What about when he... is like fighting his family and he rips open his shirt to reveal the Superman shirt underneath, and then the music swells up from the other music. That's Goonies music. Do not hum or even put in or anything the Superman theme here, because this video will get taken down like that.
Don't worry. The Superman theme is one I always get mixed up with the Star Wars theme.
I do that too.
Which I always get mixed up with the... I can never remember the Beverly Hills Cop theme. And then I try to do one and I do the other one.
But yeah, it's the Superman theme swells when he rips open his
really?
Shirt.
Really?
It is that theme, yeah, because it's Dick Donner who's the director.
The Goonies music comes when they... Coming down the... Yeah. Sorry, yes. Okay, that was a big mistake from me. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So they've got permission to use it.
Of course.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Another what about when that I said is a lead in is what about when we see this relationship between Chunk and Sloth start to solidify when they're both tied up in this yeah. room and how they become yeah. friends.
Yeah. Oh. Hello, Mister. My name's Lawrence.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so and you just understood that he's a, and for lack of a better word, because this is what the film was probably trying to convey, is that he's just a misunderstood creature, right? He's a human being. He has thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And yeah, just wants to be cared for and loved,
mm-hmm.
which Chunk supplies for him in spades. In the novelization of this film, he does end up getting adopted into Chunk's family and they live a happy life.
Oh, well, they do allude to that at the end. That's another what about when? What about when Chunk invites Sloth in? I mean, the first time I watched it, I'm like, aren't you even going to ask your parents?
Yeah, I know. I thought
you should probably
too.
Talk to them first.
There's paperwork really cool. you have to do. When
you
it's
might
just,
not be allowed.
It's a legal nightmare.
Yeah. Do you have any more what about whens?
I mean, probably.
I have one from someone told me something a while ago and I can't even remember it. I forgot to write it down. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, that's good. I'm happy with that. There's probably a bunch left on the floor, but that's okay. This is supposed to be a quick, tight, sharp segment anyway.
Well, now.
We'll leave it here. If you have any hashtag what about when moments, feel free to leave them in the comments below. Love to see those down there. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I guess we should move on to the main event, the moment why we are all here, the thing that is keeping the tank running.
We'll put the date on the film calendar.
It is time. It is called the movie calendar.
I know. Why do you always correct me? I said that, the movie calendar.
We're going to start the episode again. We didn't get the joke right.
Damn it.
We're going to add the film to the movie calendar. This one, I was sort of like, what do we choose? What date? I have no idea. There's a couple of references in this film. There's like a calendar that you see on the wall at one point, and one of them mentions as to what day it is, so you can figure out like when they go on this adventure.
I was trying to find the date of when the Chester Copperpot article
was written. All of that. And then as I was doing research for the film, I found out that the town of Astoria in Oregon in the United States is a real town. It actually exists. And they have a Goonies Day. They actually celebrate this film on Goonies Day. So that is why we are going to put the film on June 7th.
Yes.
June which 7th. Is Goonies Day.
I love it. And what they do on Goonies Day is everyone goes on top of each other's roofs with bags of brown leaves.
They do not.
And they just throw the leaves.
Rip up paperwork and throw them in the air. I just massively bumped my microphone, if that made a loud bang on the audio version.
They go into the tunnels under the town and find plumbing and shake pipes.
They do not. But they do celebrate, and they have some of the cast and stuff come and celebrate with them. And yeah, it's really sweet. And that the reason why it's on this day, I should probably say for them, is because that is and it's probably the simplest answer that you could think of yourself. It's the date that the film was released.
Mm. It's easy, and simple.
Very happy with that. The calendar was free on that date. So yeah, that's where it goes. June is getting packed. There's a lot of films in June already.
Well, we've got one also that's on its actual day. Isn't there Alien Day? Was there something? No.
Yeah, there's that's April, I think. April 27th or 26th? Oh, yeah, because LV, 426.
Yep.
You remember? That was a long time ago. That's a great episode. Check out the Alien episode. I was super proud of that one. The research that I did. yeah, I was really happy to learn some stuff. If you want to learn some stuff about the production of Alien, check out that episode.
I learned a lot.
But now, how many films do we have in June? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 films already. And one placeholder date on there as well, which we're not going to announce just yet.
Well, this is episode number 20-something? 5? 25.
25 it is, yeah.
This is episode 25. So we're halfway through a year.
Quarter of a century.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Thanks for being with us on this journey, if you have been. If you haven't,
if you have been on the journey, you would know this. But if not, welcome and strap on in. We have been giving little clues as to what December is going to be. We have mentioned that December is going to be themed. We also, mm-hmm. one of the clues was that we added a few extra things to the set during a particular episode in reference to what the theme was going to be. Then we announced that it was going to be called Director December. And I am very happy to announce that we can tell you what is going to be happening in December. We're going to be talking about 4 films from a director whose films we have been wanting to talk about since we started this podcast, the one and only Quentin Tarantino. So yeah, the 4 films that we're going to do are going to be Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill Volume 1, and Kill Bill Volume 2. So we are very excited to talk about those films. They are the episodes that will be going in December. So please get in your hashtag WhatAboutWhens. Let us know of any dates that you can think of for the movie calendar as well. That would be much appreciated. So we can put it on a date that is unique to you.
Yeah. I'm good. I don't think I've got any more. Usually I come in with, oh, what about this? What? No.
No, that's good. I really enjoyed that. So yeah.
Go watch it. Go watch it with your kids if you want to watch it with your kids.
The next episode will be Reservoir Dogs. So please come back and check that one out. So excited to talk about that film. Yeah. And so, unless you have anything else?
No, I don't. I was scanning my notes quickly. I couldn't find anything else.
I had a few things, but that's okay.
I'm excited for the next film that I'm going to have to watch. Oh, I have to watch Tarantino's.
Poor us. Thank you so much, Terrence, for recording. Lee. Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And we will see you for the first film in Director December, Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs.
Cool.
Bye. See ya.